Yeah, maybe seated this morning, if you have your Bibles, to give you a few moments to open up to what is my son's favorite passage in Scripture, Ezekiel chapter 37. I thought this would be a fun passage this morning as we think about Halloween and tomorrow and the different things that we do on that day or tonight, the little fall fest time tonight, and the trunk or treat that we're doing this evening. As you'll open your Bibles to Ezekiel 37, you'll see that the heading in your Bibles is the Valley of the Dry Bones. You ever feel dead?
Not that dead.
Are we sure? How about spiritually speaking? Have you ever been that dead? We read this passage, and it is a phenomenal, phenomenal passage, okay? If you want to read a story in the Bible that just makes you scratch your head or just puts you in awe, this is it. This is the story. This morning, what will really get you happy today is this, is really I have 2 points.
Amen.
All right, 3 of you are listening. Okay, all right. 2 points, and then a list. Okay? See, I sort of, you know, broke that up a little bit, okay? But this morning, really looking at this and thinking about this, and being dead, spiritually dead, being in that place sometimes where we get in a routine or ritual. You know, we never do that in a church, do we? Church never becomes routine, does it? All right, now I'm going to get down right here amongst you now. I tell you what now. We don't ever do that in our own personal walks with Christ. I mean, we never, never, ever, ever become, see, I just got to find out where I started echoing, become routine. You know, none of us in this room today woke up, came to church because that's what we do on Sunday morning. Right? Somebody answer God right now. That's me. My phone doesn't do that. Man, wouldn't that be embarrassing? Oh, wait, my kids changed the setting. Oh no. It'd only be me if Jay was calling me right now. But think about that. Think for a minute, because we all get to these points sometimes in our walks with Christ where maybe it does become mundane. Maybe it becomes ritualistic. Maybe it becomes this idea that, you know, I'm not really growing, I'm not really changing, I'm not really being challenged, so I'm just going to take it easy for a little bit. That's the last place we need to be, amen? Boy, if we get there, we need to challenge one another, we need to confront one another. We're not good at doing that, though, are we? I don't like confrontation. I don't like going to my brother or sister in Christ and saying, hey, something's going on here. We need to work together. We don't want to do that for some reason, but is that not biblical? It is. And if we don't do that, what ends up happening is that our churches become, just like Ezekiel 37, we just become a bunch of dry bones. Now, I was going to have fun. I thought, you know, with this passage, I thought about, well, there's a few things I could do. I could go to the Mulkey's house and ask them for that big 14-foot skeleton we can hang up from here. And then I thought, well, no, that people might not like that. And then I thought, well, Valley of Dry Bones, you know, I guess I could put a casket down front this morning. That'd be interesting. You know, we could have Jay laying in it. He could pop up at the end, you know. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Or we could lock it once we get him in there, just lock him in there. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I heard it too. But looking at these dry bones, and really the question I posed on the 2 points this morning is, how do the dry bones come alive? And we see it in the first 14 verses of Ezekiel chapter 37. And God gives us a clear answer here. Now really, imagine being in Ezekiel's shoes, or sandals, sorry. Imagine being in Ezekiel's sandals. As I read this, that's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to change your name to Ezekiel for a few moments, okay? And think, okay, if God were telling me this, how would I have responded? How would have I responded to this? I've read this numerous times. I still don't know how I responded. I probably would have been one of those guys have been looking at God going, what's wrong with you today? Did you? Have you been breathing in West Texas today? I mean, what is going on here, God? Why are you asking me to do this? Let's see what Ezekiel does. What would we do? Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them." Thanks, God. Excuse me. "And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to those bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and I will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make the flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them." Verse 9. "And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to them, breathe. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood upon their feet as a vast army." Again, you're in Ezekiel's sandals right now. "And then he said to me," this is verse 11, "'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord." Now, what would you have done if you were Ezekiel? Think about that for a second. Man, we can read Scripture. We believe this is true, amen. Believe it happened?
Yes, sir.
I do too. Now, I would have loved just to have been the fly on the wall just to see it happen. I don't know if I'd want to be Ezekiel, amen? Okay? Because see, if I'm Ezekiel and I'm walking around this valley going back and forth, as it says in the beginning, I'm going back and forth in the depths of these bones in this valley. And then God speaks to him. Here's what you to do. You're going to preach to him. To a bunch of dead things, dead people. Now, one of y'all could be real mean and make a joke right now, but we're not going to go there, amen? But what do we see that Ezekiel does here? And this is the cool thing. This is not really a point, but he immediately obeys. Now, church, I could end it right here, but I'm not, okay? Imagine, just for a second, if we could just be Ezekiel and respond to God that way. Even in the face of something we can't comprehend or understand. He didn't understand. None of us in this room could look at a pile of bones and go, "I understand what's going to happen here." No. Only God can do that. And he responds. But how in the world, how does Scripture say, how do we get dry bones to come alive? Well, he gives us two simple things. Here's the two points. Let's move quickly. The first thing in verse 4, it says that we are to preach the word. That's the simple answer. How do dry bones come alive? Well, he told Ezekiel, prophesy these things. Teach the word. Preach the word. Now, God has given us the word, amen. What do we do with it most of the time? And we put it on the shelf. Well, Pastor, I have a Bible app on my phone. I carry my phone everywhere with me. My question is the Bible app always open? Nope. Just like taking this and putting it on the shelf. Same thing. God tells Ezekiel, here's what you're going to do. You want to imagine, you want to see this happen? Well, here it is. You've got to preach the word. But now again, I have to imagine how foolish Ezekiel must have felt. He had to have felt just crazy walking around back and forth in that valley. See, now Ezekiel was a good preacher like me. He moves around. Did y'all catch that? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, stop shaking your head, dog. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we're supposed to nail our shoes down on the stage. It doesn't work that way. He's moving around. Why did he move around? Because all the bones had to hear it, amen? Right? That's the reason I move around. All the bones out here need to hear it. No, I'm kidding. Right? But he had to feel foolish. He had to feel a little crazy in that moment and what's going on. But God gave him the answer. He said, here's what's going to happen. Not only am I going to tell you what to prophesy, but I'm giving you the ability to do it. So Ezekiel walking around and really just this picture. And I, again, maybe I should have been a little smarter and maybe had some bones up here. But that's what's going on here. He takes the word. He takes the message that God has given him. And here's the thing, church. God's given us a message. Some of us need to tell our hearts and faces that. But listen, God has given us a message. And it's a great message. It's a true message. But the problem is that God has given us the message and we're just stuffing it inside of us thinking that it's for us alone. Or worse yet, I've already told them. It's not my job to tell them again. Well, let's put that into perspective this morning of the story we just read. Again, what was he preaching to? Dry bones. We make the excuse that we've told somebody three or four times. And here's Ezekiel preaching to a bunch of bones. You imagine that for a minute? That should make us feel a little guilty. Makes me feel guilty. Because I've made that excuse too. So he's given us the word. And he's given us the opportunity to say, okay, here's what you get to do here. This is what you get to do here. You get to present something I've given you. And here's the fact of the matter. Here's the imagery that's going on here. Whether we like to say it or not, church, here's the deal. You know where our dry bones are today? All over Howard County. Some of y'all don't like me saying Cahoma's lost. Guess what? Guess what, church? Cahoma is lost. It's a valley of dry bones. And God says this morning, listen, I've given you the message. I've given you the truth. They're not going to like to hear it. But guess what? Whose job is it to still take it? Ours. But here's the fact of the matter. It's not a job, amen. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an opportunity to give something that we don't deserve ourselves. Now, how many of us in the room, and if you say no to this question, we need to have deeper conversation, probably one-on-one. But how many in the room would say, man, I would love nothing more than to see Cahoma's dry bones rise up? Howard County, dry bones to rise up. Well, how does that happen? Well, by preaching the word, that's how it happens. But also, something else that is the most awesome gift I believe we have, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now see, this is where we jump up and down and clap our hands and... Okay, all right. The Holy Spirit. Okay, we'll get there. The Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit tell us? The Holy Spirit to us is the same breath that was breathed into those bones has been breathed into us if we believe in Him, if we faith Him. The same thing happened to us. See, we were dead. Right? And we came to acknowledge that we needed Him. And when we did that, He breathed into us and He gave us life. So this imagery of the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones is our testimony. Because we were once dead and then the Holy Spirit filled us. And that's what happens right here. Now imagine Him preaching. And this is where it gets really cool to me. Imagine Ezekiel preaching and he keeps preaching. And during his preaching, all these noises start happening. NIV says, rattling starts happening. You know what I prayed over the course of the last couple of weeks? I prayed there'd be some rattling going on in this room today. You know why? Because it means that the Holy Spirit had grabbed on to somebody. You hear me? Linda's like, don't make my bones rattle. They hurt already. No, okay? That's what's going on. Ezekiel's preaching. And all these noises are going. And all these bones are coming together. They're not standing up there, but they're coming together. Now again, imagine doing Ezekiel. That would scare me. How about you? You know, and all this is going. Because it wasn't like a family of five that came together, right? It was an army. Okay? I'd have been scared because I'm like, now what are they about to do? You know? They're coming up and there's just one of me. God, what are you doing here? And all these noises in me. It wasn't just the rattling of the bone, though. It even talks about, I mean, the Bible's so specific here. It talks about tendons. I mean, a body can't stand up without these things. We understand that, right? God is a masterful creator, amen. The tendons, the skin, everything that makes the body function is coming together right before His eyes. And then He does something else. God gives Him the next step of the message, which was what? To preach about the breath, the Holy Spirit. Again, Ezekiel is awesome, amen? So He does that and it breathes in. It says when He breathes in, then the bones that were once dry on the ground, now they're standing before Him in a vast army. Man, God is awesome, isn't He? And we read that story. I know why Ryan likes it. It's an awesome story. We read that and we see that. And yet, we can't even look at our own massive, awesome Creator God. We don't have enough faith just to give Him the small things. You hear me? We can take care of that ourselves. And yet, God creates an army from bones. And it only took the Word and the Holy Spirit. Amen? So imagine the rattling going on there. Imagine all that happening before Him. Now think about that. If that happens with those bones, again, let's put it into our perspective today. Imagine if the Holy Spirit not only got a hold of First Baptists, but now think about this. What if the Holy Spirit of the living God took a hold of our town? There'd be some scared folks. You hear me? There'd be conviction. There'd be folks sitting in our pews, talking about all our churches, encountering an almighty God in a real way, maybe for the first time, even though they thought they had. Hear me? The Holy Spirit. You want to see revival take place? Start praying for God to release the Holy Spirit. Now you better pray it and mean it, church. Look at me. Because when He does it, you better be prepared. You better be ready. Because if he can rise up a vast army of bones, imagine what he's going to do with you. Hear me? So if we want to see our dry bones of our community, of our churches rise up, come alive, we better be in the Word, presenting the Word, teaching the Word. And we better release and allow the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. I say it every time I talk about the Holy Spirit. You realize that the Holy Spirit is the deity of God, right? So when we talk about the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we literally are saying God lives inside of us. That means something, church. If it doesn't, I'll see you at the altar in about 5 minutes. And we'll talk. It better mean something. How do dry bones come alive? The Word and the Holy Spirit. Well, here's my list. You ready? Let's go through it fast. So y'all can be like, ooh, I like that reverend this morning. Ooh. All right. Here we go. What kind of bones do we see in the church? I took this off a guy. I read this this week, matter of fact. I read this and I thought, well, that is interesting. That is true. Gentleman's name is Dennis Cook. I took it from him. Brother Dennis Cook says, what kind of bones do we see in the church? The first bone that we see in the church is the tailbone Christian. The tailbone Christian just sits and lets everybody else do the work. No, I don't know any of those people. Tailbone Christian. Just sits and lets everybody else do the work. The fingerbone Christian. Always pointing their fingers. They're the judgmental Christian. I'm going to tell you how to do it, but I'm not going to get off my tailbone. I'm going to tell you how to do it because this is the way it's always worked. Hear me? Fingerbone Christian. The jawbone Christian. Churches do not have these, do they? Always running off the mouth. In other words, the gossipers. When surveyed about Southern Baptist churches, you know what unfortunately always comes up? Gossip. The hip bone Christian always sits on their wallets. They never tithe. Oh man, we're laughing. Wait a minute. Maybe I should have preached these. All right. This is the sad one. The dry bone Christian. Their faith has withered up. They're never in the Word or truly in worship. Folks, you can come to worship every Sunday and you can sit in this room. But if your heart's not here and your mind's not here and your hands and feet are not here, guess who's not here? You. The drybone Christian. The wishbone Christian. Their prayer life has become nothing more than a wish list. I hope God does this. Here's the good ones, though. The backbone Christian. They know the truth, and they stand on the truth. And then the other good one is the kneebone Christian. They understand and know that the victory only comes through a life of prayer. I thought that was a pretty neat little list. And unfortunately, that list is a great description of many Christians. Amen? Hopefully we can fall on those last two, though. So this morning, bless you, this morning, there are dry bones all around us. Maybe this morning, maybe, if we could honestly look at ourselves, maybe this morning we could say, you know what? I've got some of those dry bones in my own life. I'm spiritually struggling in some of these areas. How do they come alive? Immersing yourself in the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to be released from you. That's a challenge to all of us today. Amen? We are going to have a time of invitation. It'll be short. I'll cut it off if I need to. But if you have some dry bones in your life this morning, listen. The best place to start is to use that knee bone. Amen? It's hard to bend in that pew, I can promise you. They're too close. You can do it up here, though. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. If there's something else that's going on, I'd be absolutely happy to talk to you. But this morning, if our bones are dry, church, God says, I can make them alive.